The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike. It's my joy to come across these stations each and every day, Monday through Friday, and I always have a guest either in the studio or on the line, and the latter is on the line today. We're on the line with Mariah Hayden, and Mariah is the executive director at New Life Village, which is a remarkable work that is in Tampa. So, Mariah, thank you for being with me today on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're not actually covering Tampa per se, although our Ocala station goes right in on the outside of that market. So a lot of our listeners in the Ocala and westward market will be very familiar, I'm sure, with New Life. And it is something that had come across our desk about the wonderful work you're doing. And so I thought it would be great if you could kind of fill us in on both the village, everything that's a part of that, the vision for New Life Village. But let's begin with you. It's always important to find out the background of the people that I'm talking to. How did you get involved in an outreach ministry like this?
Well, it was, as was everything, God's work. So in 2016, I was really kind of getting my confidence back from being on a pretty bad postpartum depression for 2 years. And I had reached the point of disability and wasn't able to work. I'd had my first child, and thankfully I finally found the healthcare to get better. And so I'd always worked. I have, a great education, a great career experience, but I wasn't able to work for those 2 years. So I was looking to get back into working and really getting my confidence back. And somebody had recommended New Life Village as a place to volunteer, because I figured volunteering would be a good way to kind of get back into being involved and eventually working. The notion of volunteering turned into a tour, which turned into an interview, which turned into a position. And I've been here now, February will be 5 years.
Wow. So, isn't that wonderful how God does that?
Yeah, yeah. And God definitely wanted me here for my own healing. For different things that I've been through, as well as for the position. The position is a multifaceted position where you really kind of have to have a background in a lot of different areas and a diverse skill set, a jill of trades, if you will, which happened to align with my background. And I also have trauma in my childhood and experiences that I've had. And we are a trauma-informed village, and our mission here is helping children who've been through trauma to heal and have a different sort of experience and future. And so God knew what he was doing when he put me here.
Tell us a little bit about New Life, how it started, and how the original vision played out in its beginning.
Absolutely. So we were founded by Sister Claire LeBouf, and Sister Claire is this amazing nun who we just celebrated 40 years ago, her work at New Life Village, or her work for children that have been abused and neglected. So for 40 years, she's been doing this work in Tampa. We are the third nonprofit she founded, and all three nonprofits have been around making a better future for children that have been in foster care or have suffered trauma and abuse. So her vision for New Life Village was to provide a community where basically we're living the proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. So we have families here that are foster, adoptive, or kinship families. And these families are either preventing children from going into foster care, or they're helping get children out of foster care to permanency. So a grandparent might be raising their grandchildren so that the grandchildren are not in foster care, or somebody might have adopted children out of foster care, or some of our foster parents want to adopt the children if they're able to. So all of our households here have a commitment to permanency for the children, meaning the children know that these are going to be who raises them, their parents or guardians, and this is going to be home. We don't, our objective is that children don't keep moving around and experience all those negative outcomes. We want them to be safe. We want them to feel stability. The other residents that live at New Life Village are senior citizens. And so our seniors come and share their intentional retirement with us. So they're actually donating something so special, their retirement. And they volunteer, I would say, between 20 and 30 hours a month. And they serve as surrogate grandparents, tutors. We have a learning center that Sister Claire runs, a tutoring center, tutors, mentors, family, friends, babysitters. So we are living and breathing. It takes a village to raise a child. We are living that proverb. So that's what Sister Claire imagined, and that's what has come to fruition. Her heart and the original mission was that families that want to adopt older children, like 8 years or older, and older out of foster care would come and live here. And that's not entirely who's shown up here over the last 7 years. It's been kind of a different variation, but we're still very much open to families that would want to adopt those children to come to this community.
Tell us a little bit about the physical layout. How large is this village, and how many acres and so forth does that take up on the map?
Yeah, absolutely. So we sit on 12 acres, and we are located in Palm River, which is in Tampa. It's just a little bit east of Tampa near the Brandon area and a little bit south of Ybor. We are very blessed that these 12 acres were bought and paid for by a donor, so we own them. And on these 12 acres, we have 4 buildings that have townhouses in them. And then we have a clubhouse that is where our program is hosted. Our events are hosted. Our meetings and staff live. We also have a pool. What's so spectacular about these 12 acres is it's only about a quarter developed. So we still have a good 8 to 9 acres that have not been built upon yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought it from a developer during the housing crisis who had gone bankrupt, and the developer had already put utilities underground. So we already have water, sewer, electric, all that under those 8 acres. So it's such an awesome canvas for us to build upon. And so right now we have 104 residents. Those are parents, children, and seniors that are living here.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in 32 townhomes. Imagine at the center of those townhomes, you've got this kind of village clubhouse where all the events and tutoring and swimming and the pool are. And then in the back of it, we have this big campus. And on that campus, we plan to be building more buildings to facilitate more families. So thanks to a private donor as well as Hillsborough County, we are building 2 more buildings that should host about 16 more families, God willing, by the end of 2021. We'll be building those larger units. We plan to build a multi-purpose building, which gives us more office space and dedicated program space, so like art therapy room and a tutoring center and a kitchen, et cetera, things like that. Also, because of the county, we are growing our amenities. And so our amenities, like right now, we're building a splash pad for our pool for the little kids that cannot swim or the adults who would want to cool off. We're building an integrative garden with the USF School of Architecture. So we're going to have this amazing garden for our residents to be gardening in. We later plan to add a football field and a basketball court. We've got a gorgeous playground. All of these amenities are places where our children play, and they develop trusting relationships. And they develop relationships with their neighbors, which become their siblings and their extended family.
Hmm.
So our campus is actually what helps us heal. It is our most important tool in the healing process for these kids that have been through a lot of trauma. So the playing, the gardening, the pool is where so much of what we do takes place.
How much could you grow, do you think, in terms of numbers of kids being reached? I'm sure that you've done those numbers that say if you develop these this next phase out, how much bigger do you think you could get?
Our physical capacity is we could probably get, we're at 104 residents now, we could probably get up to 300, 400, even 500 residents. We have the space for it.
That would be significant, yeah.
It would. What we really have to think about is, so each of our families that's here receives, if they opt for it, what we call wraparound case services. So we work with each family to make sure they're realizing physical health, mental health resources, financial resources. You might have a family who wants to advance their career so they can make more money. You might have a family who wants to save up to buy a house. You might have a household where some counseling is needed. So we provide casework and support services to make sure each family is realizing their wellness goals. If I have a healthy family, if I have healthy parents, if I have healthy caregivers, that gives better health outcomes for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to consider those types of services with how big we get. You don't want to get as big as possible if that's going to compromise the service, you know, and making sure that everyone knows each other's names and is working together. We have an on-site program. It's called a Wellness, Resilience, and Character Development Program. And it's basically like living at a YMCA. So right here on site, we have financial wellness classes. We have Tai Chi and yoga classes. We have a trauma series for adults. So the adults can address and heal through any trauma they might have so they can be better prepared to address the trauma of the children. We have art therapy. We have pool time and YMCA swim instruction. We have bucket drumming. There's just all kinds of activities that are here. The activities are either facilitated by residents, other nonprofits we partner with, military, churches, all kinds of community entities come in to help us provide this program. And all of this programming really helps our residents have access to all kinds of stuff that help them thrive and have healthier outcomes. Because the predicted outcomes for children that have been in foster care are really negative. They're really gloom. So that the propensity that they're going to end up using drugs, dropping out of college or high school, teen pregnancy, poverty, those stats are really, really not favorable. And our goal is to interrupt that and say, okay, we're going to get in the way from those negative outcomes. We want to see you go to college. We want to see you find your talents and explore them. We want to see if families decide to move out of here, we want to see them move out into homeownership, right? Because we are a rental community. And so that's what we're really trying to do, is provide that supportive community for those families and for those kids to interrupt those outcomes.
You mentioned those that are retiring and move in kind of in a quasi-grandparent role. I think you said, used the word intentional retirement. When a person does that, let's say there's a couple from Wisconsin that hears about New Life and they start checking it out and they say, hey, we want to do that. How long of a time commitment is it for them? Do they invest or are they just renting? How does that work?
We are a rental community. Unfortunately, we don't have any homeownership options at this time. But it's similar to another rental community, so you would apply. We do have a pretty long and intentional recruitment process, you know, interviewing and making sure people are a right fit for the community. So maybe kind of think of like a co-op where they would interview you and say, hey, why do you want to live here? But if a senior citizen, so you need to be at least 55 years old to live here, interviews and gets approved to live here, then they sign a lease. So we do leases by the year. And while they're here, once they get settled, we figure out, hey, what are your talents? You know, how could you be of best service to this community? So some of our seniors garden. Some of our seniors are retired teachers and they tutor children. If you love comic books and you're a senior I'm going to be begging you and encouraging you to do comic book workshops with the kids. We really want to take your talent and the things that you love and share it with the children, just as a grandparent would. So it's basically, I would say, a commitment 1 year at a time. Every year you renew your lease. And the minimum volunteer requirement for seniors is 18 hours a month, but most of our seniors go way above and beyond that. They just love it. And we have Tai Chi and yoga for the seniors. They go on theater trips. They do all kinds of fun stuff in and of for themselves outside of their work with the children. And then each of our families is assigned, or I should say a better word, is paired with the senior. So every household that has children in it has at least one, sometimes more than one, senior that they know that they can call if they need, you know, somebody to babysit or to pick up milk at the store or whatever. Everyone knows who their support senior is.
Now, for the kids that are a part, these young kids that are, you know, would otherwise be in the foster care system, and like you said, that can be, thank God for all the foster parents we have out there, but it can be for the kid quite a mobile situation, perhaps going to different families, several families in the course of even a single year. I think that one question that people will have when they're learning about New Life Village is what is the schooling like for these kids that are part of your program there?
So we're really proud of kind of our approach for school children. So we've got children here aged from newborn all the way to high school students. Some of them are even in college. And so what do we do for schooling? Each family is their own individual unit. They're not per se the custody of New Life Village. So each family, you know, pays their own bills and does their own grocery shopping and does their own planning. And so each household, the children have different needs for schooling. So what we try to do is partner with the families and figure out, okay, does this child have a special talent? If they do, can we assist this family to apply to a magnet school, right? We would prefer to get a child to match best with their talents. Does this child want to go to the school that, or does the parent want the child to go to the school that the bus picks them up? We call that a districted school. So then we work with the counselors and stuff at that school to make sure that that child's needs are being met at that school, the districted school. Some children here have what is called an IEP. So that means the school district and the federal government have recognized that that child might have a learning disability or need extra assistance at schools. And so children that have IEPs actually qualify to go somewhere that's called Pepin Academies. It's another cool thing that we have in Tampa that is a rare find. And Pepin Academies is a specialized charter school for children with IEPs. So basically children that have behavioral challenges or learning challenges or whatever, and only children with that kind of background can go to Pepin, and Pepin does this amazing job. Students that were normally having trouble in school or constantly having challenges are now on the honor roll. It's a great school for that child with that type of background. Having learning disabilities and having IEPs is highly correlated with trauma. So children who have moved around a lot of households and had been through trauma, that's very common. And so a lot of our kids will go to Pepin Academies, which is actually close by. Mm-hmm. So the answer is we find and do our best to find the schooling that best meets the needs of that child. And then the bus either gets them or the parents take them, or a lot of the villagers actually carpool to get the children to school.
And, you know, COVID has changed every school, hasn't it? I'm sure it's had a major impact on New Life Village as well.
Yes, it has. Well, so for the most part, we've been extremely blessed with COVID. The village has come together in a way that we've never seen before with the support. Just we have, you know, an email address where everybody can email each other at the same time and text messages. And they have been grocery shopping for each other giving each other rides, picking up resources, especially for our seniors that are vulnerable and that who we don't want out in the community. We welcomed a new baby into the community during COVID, and the support the village showed for the mother while she was in the hospital and taking care of the children she already had at home was amazing. We've made it through our fiscal year is over in about a month. We've made it through the fiscal year with the appropriate amount of budget cuts and grants and emergency funding. We're basically ending the year in the black. Basically, we're not scathed financially by COVID, which is amazing, especially in a climate when a lot of charities are closing down. Our residents were still able to pay rent. The ones that weren't able to pay rent, we were able to find them community resources to pay their rent. So our business model has proven very strong during COVID, which is a huge blessing. And not only have we been able to be stable, but we're growing. We've raised a good deal of money to grow our program and our property this year. So long story short, we've been very, very blessed. Now, we do currently have a resident in the hospital fighting COVID, and it's pretty serious. So I don't want to not mention that COVID has come to us, and so our prayers are with him. But outside of that, we've fared very well in a very difficult year.
It has been a very difficult year for so many, and I know my own family's been hit with it as well up in Indiana, and I feel that pain very, very real and identify with exactly what you're talking about. You know, you mentioned that so many charities have had difficulties in this year because it's not just been the COVID issue, but the financial kind of whiplash, if you will, the just the pond circles. When you throw a rock in the pond, those ripples just go out in all different directions. And obviously some of the most felt consequences from COVID has been the area of businesses and having to shut down and lost income. You have several ways on your website for people to take part in this vision because you're doing such a great work. And explain some of the ways that people can, by gifting to New Life Village, how can they become a part of the outreach that you have?
There's, well, if people are local, we can always use volunteers, tutors in our learning center, and we have a different ways to volunteer with the campus. We usually have, although they've been on hold right now, but we usually have luncheons every few months where the community is welcome in, and we give a tour and we show them our program and what we're up to and how we plan to go. We are a young charity. We're the only one in the state of Florida doing what we're doing. There are a couple other models, Generations of Hope model communities around the country, but we're certainly the only one in the state of Florida doing what we're doing. So a big thing we need is people to share about us, which is such a blessing with this radio station interview right now, is to share what we're doing so people know what we're up to. So we welcome people to look at our website, newlifevillage.com, .org, our Facebook page to see what we're doing and just share the word about us. If you're in the area, come by for a tour so we can show you. Our campus is beautiful. We've got butterfly installations and playgrounds and gardens and all these cool things. And then we're always looking for, of course, donations. And most charities do need donations. And unfortunately, COVID, there's not a charity I know of that COVID hasn't affected their financials because most charities really had to cut back on expectations of how many donations they're going to get in such an uncertain economy. But if somebody is in the place to be able to give to us, we've got monthly giving levels, which are very affordable, which are on our website. We have donors can also decide, hey, I want to sponsor a townhouse, or I want to give money to this program, or I want to help you build a new building. Those are all different ways that we need help to both sustain and grow what we're doing.
Well, you have a unique outreach, and Mariah, I certainly appreciate your being with us here to tell us about it. That website, again, is newlifevillage.org, and it is located on a beautiful tract of land, 12 acres, with, you said, about 8 of those acres developed, and some beautiful Florida scenery around the other 4, I'm sure, and a lot of room to grow in the future. And boy, I sure wish you the best, and thank you so very much for being with us today on the program and letting us know about that. And we do encourage people, our listeners, if this is the first time you've heard about it, take up Mariah's offer and go out and see them. It's in the Tampa area. And, of course, you can visit that website and do the virtual tour and see what's going on that way. And what are the best hours for people to drop by and to make an appointment to come out and take that tour? What are the times that are best?
Typically business hours, so Monday through Friday, like 9 to 4, 9 to 5 time frame. But we can arrange evening and weekend tours, too, if they contact us.
That's wonderful. Mariah, thank you so very much for being with us today on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing all of what God's going to do in new life in the days and months ahead, and look forward for COVID to be over so you can get on to the normal activities that you guys are about.
Yes, sir. We appreciate it. We appreciate the thoughts and the prayers for our community. They've certainly brought us this far.
Wow, wonderful. God bless you. And friends, we'll be back here on Afternoons with Mike in just a moment. On the line with my good friend Doug Prusak. Thank you for being with me here today, Doug. And boy, we've not talked since April, and that in COVID years is at least 3. So it's been a long time, my friend.
It is a blessing to be back, and you are absolutely right. Somehow 3 months feels like 3 years sometimes.
You know, it is the most, and we've said this so many times, but it is true, and it seems that, well, when we last talked, you know, we thought we were on that flattening part of the curve of COVID, and, you know, we're starting to see the maybe the upside on the last part and the light at the end of the tunnel and all those nice cliches which kind of spell an end to something that we were just ready to get. And about the time we thought we were there, boom, this thing just up and upticks, and here we go, and a lot of people, you know, are affected freshly with this thing. So you're part of, obviously, of a big outreach called the Christian Help in the Castleberry area, serving Seminole County and beyond. How has this most recent uptick affected you guys?
Powerfully, honestly. We have set month-to-month records for clients served out of our food pantry, and folks who are looking to us for help finding a new job because they may have either lost theirs or been laid off or had some other unfortunate situation. We've set month over month records since March.
That is an unreal thing that these things, you know, it came, you know, none of us would have seen this coming because prior to COVID, our economy was at an all-time high. And it just wouldn't, we just would not have believed that within just a short blink of the eye, the economy is down and jobs are at all-time highs, and are the loss of jobs, I should say, are at an all-time high. And then the need, obviously, this trickles right down to people's everyday sustenance and needs, and that's what Christian Help is all about. Tell us about what steps you're taking to meet the need that is great right now.
Well, the first thing that we've done is to enhance all of our social distancing and maintenance protocols. And we have social distancing all over the campus. Everybody has to wear a mask. We're following county guidelines very, very closely. So we've taken all those safety measures. We clean our building more often than usual and deeper than usual. And everything's really as sanitary as we can make it. As for the outreach portion, we have social distancing outside. We have lines, honestly, wrapped around the building. We all pull in here between 8 and 8:15 in the morning, and there are already folks halfway around the building. Mm. And It's really powerful to pull in here and know that so many people need to be blessed and so many people need help. And, you know, we're just here, you know, we're a small staff, we're doing the best we can. And the demand is just, it's increasing. And fortunately, alongside of that, we've been blessed as well. And you would think that in a time like this, people would hunker down financially, and they've blessed us. It's just been, it's been so powerful to see the community respond to the need that we're filling.
In the event that someone is listening and hearing the term Christian Help for the first time, give us a brief, if you will, overview of what your organization is all about.
Okay, Christian Help has been serving Castleberry for 28 years. We rely on donors and God's generosity, and that's it. We don't take any taxpayer dollars. We are here to provide hope, encouragement, love, and prayer for the community. We help people find jobs while providing for them materially and spiritually. And it's our vision just to see God honored by providing these resources to the unemployed and underemployed in our community, with a desire to become self-sufficient. We don't exist in the idea of a handout as much as a hand up. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is to get people back on their feet and get into a plan for their own self-sustaining lifestyle, where they can contribute to society again, where they can become consumers in our community, where they can have dignity and just get back on their feet and get back and not feel like they're a burden.
And that is such a thing that everyone who is hit with the news, either of a lost job. I was talking to one person. We were texting backwards and forwards, a good friend of mine in an industry, a large national industry, and his company had furloughed 6,000 employees. So he was still with the company himself. But imagine being in a big, large company, a large company, with that many employees gone, the kind of bleak feelings that it leaves people. But when you're one of the people that's cut and you've still got mouths to feed at home, you've still got rent to pay for, and there's no doubt about it, a hand up would look like a very attractive thing, wouldn't it?
It absolutely would. And, you know, we're trying to give people hope, and we're trying to let them know that they have a future, that God loves them and God has a plan for their lives. And it's just so important to reinforce that with people, especially now. And we've been able, actually, this is a really exciting development. Last week, we had our first job fair in several months. You had mentioned because of the pandemic, you know, things closing down. Mm-hmm. And we have what will be now monthly job fairs over at the Central Florida Fairgrounds through November. And what we're doing is connecting dozens of potential employers with hundreds and sometimes thousands of candidates. And you get face-to-face time with them. We've had, out of the last several job fairs, a 35% higher rate of folks who came to the job fair who got jobs. So it's an exciting thing to be able to be doing that again. And, you know, we had taken a few months off from that because obviously the pandemic and everything, but it's been a huge blessing to get that back going. And we have another one August 5th.
When you look back over these several months, because all of us are learning how to track certain aspects of business and certain aspects of how people are responding with the news of the of COVID and the impacts on people's lives, I seem to be, and I don't know if this is your experience too, picking up what would be mixed signals on some fronts. People are saying that they're starting to see a lessening of the amount of impact, and people are, the death rate is down, and that's good news for that. But the people that are being affected seems to be up. Are you seeing that mixed signal as well?
Yes. You see the news reports where there's more cases, but fewer people, you know, praise God, dying from this. And, you know, we have a our youngest is entering high school this year, and we thought long and hard about how we're going to handle that. Is she going to go in person? Is she going to go virtually? Is there going to be some sort of a hybrid of that? And we as a family have taken steps on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. You know, my daughter is medically vulnerable and there are some other issues within the family. So we just decided we're going to play it safe and send her virtually.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of mixed signals out there. And really, you know, what it comes down to is you have to do what's best for your family. If you feel comfortable doing it, being out in the community, going to restaurants, putting your kids in school, go for it. If you don't, I mean, that's the beauty of living in this country. It's you have a lot of choice. And you can do what you think is best for your family. We've chosen to hunker down a little bit more than normal. So it is complicated. We do get mixed signals, and it's a lot to parse through.
It is indeed. I'm talking to Doug Prusak from Christian Help. I'll be back with my friend Doug in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. Back on the line with Doug Prusak from Christian Help. He is in the Castleberry area, and that is in Seminole County, and they do a wonderful work. Doug's background is broadcasting, and you spent a long time in a lot of different areas, including here in Orlando at a couple of different facilities. I know you were at Good Life 45 and also Channel 13. But for a while, Doug, you were involved in Atlanta at CNN. And that had to, seeing when the riots were happening up there, seeing the building being encroached, that had to give you a few moments of pause.
Yes, it did. I worked at CNN in Atlanta for 12 years. And that big logo that you see, the three letters, I walked by that every day after I parked. And to see what was going on in Atlanta, literally on ground I had walked on, that was really, really tough to watch. A good friend of mine was actually the reporter on the ground in the CNN lobby when folks were coming in and out and throwing rocks and the police were there. And it was disturbing to have something as national as this hit that close to home. And, you know, CNN gets a bad rap. And I really do believe that in breaking news coverage that they are the gold standard. And to see what was going on in the building, there's two restaurants right where those rioters were. And I mean, I walked those steps thousands of times. So yeah, that was a tough night to watch.
Well, we are praying. We're praying for an end to all this unrest that's going on. And it seems to me that these are some of the most troubling times that any of us have ever experienced on so many different fronts. And I really do appreciate what you said in the last segment, Doug, about one of the goals that Christian Help has, and that is to give people hope. And you know, that's so clear to see that what's happening in our country right now, there's a lot of people that have lost sight of any hope, and they are looking. I sometimes are looking for hope in all the wrong places. That is my mind. I think that's right. I'm grateful for you guys trying to give hope. And you've got something exciting to tell us about the summer camp. Tell us about that.
Yes, we absolutely do. Our summer campaign is called Empowering Family Independence. And the reality of the COVID situation is a lot of families have become dependent on whether it's unemployment checks or, you know, the government or organizations like ours. And what we're trying to do is build stronger families, build families that are back to work. We've been doing this for 28 years now, and the need is just, it's greater than ever. And we're trying to provide job search resources, food, and just hope for these people that there is a future. There is a hope that God, you know, that God does have a plan for everybody. And Seminole County, basically, they declared us an essential service. We never closed during the pandemic, and we've been here all along. We've set monthly records for folks that we're serving, and we're counseling a growing number of people looking for employment. And we're looking at new and bigger and better ways to connect job seekers with employers and get the local economy back on its feet, get businesses open with folks who can help rebuild those businesses, and just connect people to be a community resource for those in need of employees or a job.
Are you finding what I'm seeing, is this true in your experience there, that people have kind of stopped talking about when this thing's going to get over, and there's like this thought that this pandemic and its impact and masks and social distancing, that it's probably going to be following us for the most of this year anyway. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes, I think it went from a hope that this would end to almost switching into a lifestyle, and the masks becoming a part of that, and you know, social distancing and extra cleaning and being more aware of your environment and the people around you. I think it's almost settled into a lifestyle. And you know, Mike, as I know that you, I know you're aware of, I play a little golf, and you know, golf itself is pretty safe. You're outside, and the way I play, you're socially distanced from others.
way I play, I'm usually a long way away from others. I'm down in the weeds, knocking the ball out of the high stuff.
But even so, when you get to the course, you walk into the clubhouse and you have to wear a mask. I wear the gloves wherever I go. And it's just, even in those environments, you're taking an extra precaution. You're pausing for a moment, whether it's a supermarket or a doctor's office. Everybody has to take a moment to think about where they're going and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's becoming a lifestyle rather than a kind of whimsical, oh, I'm just going to put a mask on or I won't bother.
Mm-hmm. It is that kind of a thing where we're having to grapple with the reality that these things are going to be with us for a while. I wish it were like President Trump had hoped and had remarked, and I think he took his share of mocking from some people when he said he was hopeful that it would be over by Easter. Well, I would have agreed. I think all of us were hoping it would be over by then. It isn't, and now we're looking at more of a long haul thing. When you're in your summer campaign, when you guys are trying to help people, what are you pointing people toward now with that as a reality, that we're living in a COVID world, not a post-COVID world? We look forward to the day we can say that. But in a COVID world, what are you telling people to do, or what kind of jobs are you pointing them toward?
Well, what's happening, what we're seeing is folks have been laid off who have, you know, strong resumes, but they can't find work in their immediate field. But what we're doing with them is saying, okay, you have, you know, XYZ skill set. Maybe that would work in this environment instead, which is an emerging environment out of our COVID world. Mm-hmm. So the job that you had, maybe working at a hotel, I'm just going to make up an example here, but you're working at the front desk of a hotel. Well, tourism is down, but you may have a skill set within that that will work somewhere else. And what we're doing a lot of in our job coaching is saying, okay, well, maybe have you thought about this? You know, have you thought about looking at something that might be a part of the economic rebound rather than what was there?
Because there are sectors of the economics and businesses that are really continuing to do quite well. Some have actually grown and actually got on firmer footing. And that is amazing that that happens. But boy, there are some companies that were shut down and shut down completely and sadly are not even there any longer and probably will never reopen. So it is important to, I guess, redirect people with their skill sets and point them toward places. And that's really great that you guys are doing that. I'm sure it's appreciated. And like you said earlier, Doug, the people that are depending on you are out there in ways that are unparalleled, and record crowds are gathering around Christian Help. And so thank you so much for what you're doing. Give us that website again.
Absolutely. It is christianhelp.org. christianhelp empoweringfamilyindependence.org. And all the information is on there. Our Empowering Family Independence campaign is right there for you to have a look at. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to reach out to me directly. And I'm happy to answer them, steer you in the right direction. If you're looking for a job, if you'd like to support us, or if you're a business. And we're seeing a lot of business and church partners now who recognize what we're doing, and they're coming alongside us to partner with us as well. So it's christianhelp.org.
Christianhelp.org. And before you go, I just need this. My game is terrible as it is, but what did you shoot the last time on the golf course? What was your score?
78.
Oh, man. All right. I expected as bad, and it's actually worse than what I expected. But that is marvelous. Congratulations. I want to rejoice for you, my friend.
And thank you.
And I can honestly tell you that I actually did shoot 78, but that was through 9 holes. So that'll give you a little bit of my level of playing right there. Doug Prusak, it's always a joy to have you on my program, my friend.
You as well. Thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate it.
And say hello to all the fine folks at Christian Help, and we'll be looking forward to hearing from you the next time. And friends, thank you for being with me here on Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd.